Boker Tov. I hope everybody had an inspiring Yom Kippur, but not only that, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was inspired, if I can use such a term, to hear our tefillot. We should have a year of peace, please God. And I don't know how that's going to work in the Olam HaTeva, but maybe in the Olam of miracles, please God. Okay, and the rabbi was commenting he didn't think people would come. Of course people want to come. What else is there to do between Yom Kippur and Sukkot except to learn Torah? I mean, they do other things too, but a little bit of Torah. But just next week, please God, just to let you know, we will have Dr. Sokolow is going to give a shiur, I believe Sunday night, now I have to double check, but on the Zohar HaBracha, our regular Parsha shiur, and then we'll have on Tuesday night, David Harbader is going to give a shiur on Bereshit, starting our new cycle. So two of the nights of Chol HaMoed, there's no break, you know, between like Sukkot and Parsha learning. So we will, please God, continue that. And those who can make it, great. Those who can't, I understand. But anyways, you can listen to the recording. Okay, Rabbi Litag, I'm sorry I took away 2 minutes of your time. Sukkot, Chag HaSiv, two holidays, one holiday, same date. That's what we're here for. Okay, Vakasha.
Okay, that's one of my favorite titles, because the title is the whole share.
Okay, there you go. I got it. Okay. Can we guess what the answers you're going to give?
Someone tell me, why would you say it's two names for the same holiday? You want to give a written notes? Why would you say that Chag HaSif and Chag HaSukkot are two names for the same holiday?
Because they happen at the same time.
No.
Oh.
That's another possibility. It could be two different holidays on the same date. No, Shabbos can come out on Rosh Chodesh sometimes. No.
Two different aspects of the holiday has two different aspects to it.
There's one holiday with two. Yeah. And what are the two different aspects?
The one is agricultural.
Yeah.
And one is historical.
Okay. Now, are there any shortage of holidays in the month of Tishrei?
No.
No. There's plenty, right? Now, I need an agricultural holiday in the land of Israel during harvest season. So it makes sense to have a harvest season holiday now. So the harvest season, that has to do with the sun and agricultural cycle in Israel. So this is the time of year for Chag HaKatzir. But why remember the desert experience this time of year? You understand my question?
Yes.
If Sukkot is to remember your experience in the desert, that was like 40 years in the desert. There's no once, and if the first time it's mentioned, I think, is in when we come out of Egypt, isn't it? On the way leaving Egypt, we stopped in Sukkot, if that's the reason for Sukkot. But if we're Sukkot for 40 years in the desert, there's no one specific date. The historical reason for Chag HaMatzot, that's when we left Egypt. The historical reason for Shavuot is Zman Matan Torateinu. Not the exact date, that time of year. But there's no shortage of holidays in the month of Tishrei. So why put another, why add an historical reason when Chag HaKatzir is enough? Okay? That's one question. The other question is going to be,
I didn't do that.
Okay, Rabbi,
you're muted.
Yeah, unmute yourself.
Yeah. Wait, that was just now that happened, right?
For 15 seconds, yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
So, yeah, I don't know how that happened. Going back to my other question, there's 7 days of Sukkot and the Shemini Atzeret that we're all familiar with. Now, so another question is Shemini Atzeret, is that historical? Is that agricultural? What holiday is it? Why is Shemini Atzeret not part of Sukkot? Give me the simple reason.
The Torah says so.
Exactly. But why would you think it is?
It's in continuity.
Because it's called eight. It's eight after 7 days of Sukkot. So I want to tackle all those questions today. What's this idea about Atzeret? Just one last question, and I'll get the source sheet. Is there any other holiday called Atzeret other than Shemini Atzeret?
Yes.
Who else?
The seventh day of Pentecost is called Atzeret. Well, Yom HaShvili Atzeret LaShem Alecha LaShem Alecha. And rabbinic terminology, Chag HaShavuot is called Atzeret.
Exactly. Now, most people don't realize that Shvi Shel Pesach is called Atzeret in Chumash. And what we call Shavuot in Lashon Chachamim is called Atzeret. And we have to figure out why. And how would you translate Atzeret?
Gathering, solemn assembly,
gathering assembly, or maybe stopping.
Stop.
And it could be stopping too. Atzar.
Atzar means to stop. Okay. Right. So we have to make. So the goal today is to make sense of all, out of all that.
There's something else also about the agricultural part. What do we use to mark the quote-unquote agricultural part, the arba meaning? They have nothing to do with the produce of the land that we have that we have just quote-unquote finished.
Exactly. No, the arba meaning have nothing to do with Chag HaSif.
Right.
The only crop that doesn't end, whose year doesn't end, the only fruit whose season doesn't end in Chag HaSif is the etrog.
And there it doesn't have a season.
It doesn't have a season
all year.
Which doesn't have, that's why it goes back to get, that's why it doesn't look like the tree's making it. Like the tree, that's Tama Eitzik, Tama Pri. In Gan Eden, in creation, when God makes the trees, it's Eitzos Sepri. It looks like the tree has power to make fruit. Because it
goes about the fact that they're supposed to grow by the water, and on Sukkot we're praying for water.
At least that's
the way I was always taught in the Jewish system, that they do have something to do with Chag HaSukkot. They're not just a totally detached thing. You're holding them because they grow by the water.
Yeah, but so it's agricultural, but it's not harvest. You don't harvest.
No, but it doesn't have to be. We're also looking forward, not just looking back.
But that's not Chag HaKatzir.
We said Chag HaAsif.
I'm sorry, Chag HaAsif. I meant Chag HaAsif.
Right,
means,
but I'm saying we can also look forward.
Chag HaAsif means collecting your fruit harvest.
But you're also hoping for the next harvest.
Okay, but that's not Chag HaAsif.
Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Ana
Hashem. I can call that Chag HaTikva.
No.
But
you also pray for the future.
Okay,
you know?
That's an add-on. But I'm saying Chag HaAsif, you would expect it to be talking about, you know, if I'm going to have something agriculture for Chag HaAsif, I'd expect it to be something from the yekev, from your grapes, from your olives, from your dates, from your fruit. Because that's what the Asif is that time of year.
Why don't
you're
we
right,
say?
If, it, you're it right, first, at that time of year, you're collecting water. Anyway, let's read the
first
Pukim.
Called Chag, and then all the other words attached to the word Chag are secondary. Chag is the basic name. And then after that, you can proceed to say, oh, what's Chag? Chag HaSif, Chag HaSukkot, and leave it at that. But Chag itself will be sufficient. You don't need any more. And that would already just mean pilgrimage procession. And that would certainly include taking the love and etrog around the Mizbeach.
Okay, so let's do the Psukim, and we'll get to work. Let me share my screen. So she should have been posted. We'll just go to Parshat Amor. One of the most confusing sections of Parshat Amor. Actually, before we do this, just I want to open up a regular Chumash just to show you what's called Parshat HaMoedim, Perachav Gimun Vayikra. Make it a drop bigger. What's confusing about it, the whole chapter 23 is a standalone unit. It starts with God telling Moshe, tell Bnei Yisrael, Moedei Hashem, Asher Tikra Moed Kodesh. Then we talk, parenthetically, we mentioned Shabbat. And then we start Moedim again in Pasuk Daled. And the Moedim have lunar dates. Which Moed is Pesach. And then we have Atzot for 7 days. And then we take a little insert and talk about counting 7 weeks for our Chag HaKatzir. And then we have a lunar date for what we call Rosh Hashanah, which Chumash calls Zichron Teruah, the first day of the seventh month. Then in the seventh month, on the same seventh month, Ach Basor L'Chodesh HaShvi has a Yom Kippurim. And then V'Inui Nefesh, we just had. And then we have the section about Sukkot. So we're going to read this now with English and Hebrew. But we can see this ending section is really confusing. And we're going to read it now together on the regular source sheet. And the whole thing ends with Vaydaber Moshe et Moedei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. But we're going to pay attention to the ending, which is really confusing. So let's take a look at the regular source sheet. We'll come back to this in a minute. We need to unshare. I didn't share my screen, did I?
No, you didn't.
Oh, tell me when I don't share my screen. Someone's got to yell at me. Okay. Let me show you what I just did. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Here's my screen. I'm sorry. Okay. I had Vayikra Chav Gimel. I was highlighting the whole time. We have the opening line. Moedei Hashem. Okay. Then Shabbat, and then again Moedei Hashem, So again, we have a general header, Moed Hashem, parenthetically Shabbat, and then we start Moedim again. And Moedim all have, most, at least most of them, have a lunar date. So the lunar date is the first month, the 14th, Pesach, 15th, 7 days, Chag HaMatzot. We insert here the 7 weeks of what we call Sefirat HaOmer, which is Chag HaTetzir, without a lunar date. And then we have the 7th month, what we call Rosh Hashanah, Zichron Terah. Then we have the 10th, what we call Yom Kippur. And the section we're going to study now is the end of it, where God tells Moshe on the 15th day of the 7th month, Chag Sukkot Shivat Yamim. Okay? The first day we do Mikra Kodesh, we'll read this in general, and then the 8th day, something special. We summarize Ela Modei Hashem. We finish the Moedim, Asher Tikrot HaMikra Kodesh, and that should be the end. And then we go back again, and like we forgot something, ach, on the 15th, when you're celebrating that holiday, but when you're gathering Tuvat Haaretz, you do a Chag, 7 days, the first day is Shabbaton, and the 8th day is Shabbaton. And then we have Arba Minim, etc. So we're going to read this last section in detail. It's confusing because we have Sukkot mentioned twice. We have Sukkot mentioned as the Mikra Kodesh, and just calling it Sukkot without any explanation. We summarize Ela Modei Hashem. After we summarize Modei Hashem, we go back again and talk about on the 15th of the month, and we talk about Asif, gathering the twelve from the land. You have this celebration to God. And then on the first day is Shabbaton, and the last day is Shabbaton. Now, I can say Shabbaton is another name for Mikra Kodesh, but it's something different. And then we talk about what we call the Arba Minim. And then we talk about Sukkot Teshuvah Shivat Yamim. We're going to read this now in detail. First, I want to show you why it's two different holidays on the same day. And then I want to show you why it's really the same holiday. Okay? So now we're going to go to the regular source sheet. I have to reshare now. And we'll get to work. So let's read. Vadaber Hashem Moshe l'emor. Like all the other ones, Daber b'nei Yisrael. We tell them, on the 15th day of the 7th month, Chag Sukkot, 7 days. Why 7 days? No rhyme, no reason in the beginning, other than the fact that all the agricultural holidays are 7 days. 7 days of Chag HaMatzot, and then 7 weeks, to Shavuot, and now seven. Then we have the 7th month and 7 days of Chag Sukkot. But nothing happened. 7 days seems to relate somehow to a week. But for some reason, 7 days. Now, on the first day of the holiday, you gather, Mikra Kodesh. You have a national gathering. It's a bank holiday. Therefore, work is not permitted, called Melechet Avodah. You can cook, but you can't. The businesses are closed to make sure people can gather. Remember, on a Mikra Kodesh, every time you have the phrase in Emor, Mikra Kodesh, it means it's a time for the community to gather. To enable the gathering, we forbid workplaces to be open. Shabbat, when you stop working, that creates the atmosphere of Shabbat. Shvitat Malacha, stopping work on Shabbat, creates that idea of Shabbat. On Yom Tov, not working enables the holiday. It's not by stopping working, I'm going to remember creation. I stop work, and therefore it's a different definition of work. I'm closing my businesses. I'm closing the marketplace. It's what we call in English a bank holiday. I'm closing them to enable the people to gather to discuss the topic of Yom Tov, whatever the
there
topic
might be. A difference between Belechet Avodah and Avodah by itself, as you have on Yom Kippur, without the Melechet.
Yeah. So what Chazal pick up on, whenever it says Kol Melacha, not when it says kol melacha, that means all melacha is forbidden, even cooking. And kol melechet avodah, Ramban explains, is melacha shebasadot. It means what we call a bank holiday. Or pretty much the way most people don't keep Shabbat, or semi-Shabbat. Like, I don't go to work on Shabbos, but I'll do melacha. Like, I'll do rabbinic melacha, but I'm not going to the office. So that seems to be the general principle of melacha and Yom Tov. Again, on the thematic level. The reason why we don't work on Yom Tov is in order to enable the people to gather. So that's why I'm closing the businesses. Not working on Shabbat is a different category. It sort of creates the atmosphere of Shabbat. It's stopping creativity. This is simply stopping the marketplace to enable people to gather. That's all. I think that's the Ramban on right here in the beginning of Parshat Emor talks about that. Now, so again, on the first day you have a gathering, can't do any work. Then it says 7 days, you bring in Ishad Hashem, that's all in Parshat Pinchas. And then on the eighth day, a Mikra Kodesh. And you bring a Korban to God. And we call it Atzeret, either meaning to ending or gathering. Again, kom lo tasu, don't do any work. Then we finish Elam Moed Hashem. Now, if I only had this holiday, there's no reason that given for why it's called Sukkot. Has it been called Sukkot before in Chumash or not? Before Parshat Emor, is the holiday ever called Sukkot? Does anyone remember? In Sefer Shemot, we had the Shol Tzur Galim, didn't we? What was it called in okay, I'll refresh your memory. Let's open up a Chumash.
Magasif.
So take a look in Exodus 23. Chag Katzir b'korim Masach, that's what we call Shavuot. V'chag Asif b'tzei tashana. V'chag Masach min Asadeh. It's not called Sukkot, it's simply called Chag Asif, correct? And then later on in chapter 34, there's no Shabbos Chalamod. Oh wait, we might read this on Chalamod. What's it say there? Shlosh pamim b'shana. Here we go. V'chag Shavuot tase lecha b'kei kitzchnim. V'chag Asif kufat hashana. So in Sefer Shemot it's never called Sukkot. Now all of a sudden in Emor the first time it's presented is called Sukkot, without giving a reason for why it's called Sukkot. Everyone follows that? I could suggest lots of reasons, but if someone tells you celebrate Sukkot, I'd expect to hear a reason. But for some reason, Chumash just calls it Sukkot for the first time and doesn't give a reason. Keep that in mind. Now, let's go back to our source sheet again. There we go.
One shalas, two of these.
Wait, is that a question?
You can take
Oh, I think I better mute. 1 second. I better mute. 1 second. Oh, we're muted. Okay, we're back on. Share my screen again. Let's go to the source sheet again. Now, take a look. So again, I finished Elam Moed Hashem, and the first thing I have about Sukkot is simply that it's called Sukkot, 7 days, the eighth day, Mikra Kodesh, and that's it. And I summarize, Elam Moed Hashem, and what do we do on them? We don't do work, we bring in Yishev, and Parshat Pinchas, and the times of gathering. So, in addition to other times of gathering and other things we bring to God. Now I sort of like a footnote to the whole section. How be it, whatever they call it here in English. Alas, okay? On the same 15th day of the 7th month, when you're gathering, listen carefully, remember what you were talking about before? But the, we're discussing in the beginning. When you're gathering your tvua, in other words, during Chag Asif, what we've talked about before, okay? Have a holiday for 7 days. On the first day is Shabbaton, and the last day is Shabbaton. Got that? No. Is this Chag Asif, or is this something that goes hand in hand with Chag Asif? But this opening statement is strange, isn't it? On the same 15th day that I just mentioned beforehand, like a footnote to what I had above, to the Mikra Kodesh, also have a Shabbaton. How is a Shabbaton different than a Mikra Kodesh? It's unclear, but for some reason it's called a Shabbaton. Now, if you remember Rosh Hashanah in Parshat Emor, remember what that was called? Let me stop the share. Am I sharing again?
Yes, you are. And
yeah, I'm sharing.
It says the first 7 day, and then it adds an eighth day. Suddenly, in the Ach.
No. We had the eighth day before. We had the eighth day before.
Where?
In Chag HaSukkot, we had eighth day. I'll show you in 1 second. Let me just go back to open a Chumash. I want to show you back to Vayikra. Where's Vayikra? Vayikra Chav Gimel.
Asher, look at verse 36.
Yeah, here. But just take a look first at Rosh Hashanah. Vayidam Hashem Moshe Lemor, Dabel Bnei Yisrael Lemor, V'chol Shashvi B'chad HaChodesh, Yeh Lechem Shabbaton Zichron Torah Mikra Kodesh. So we have one holiday, first day of the 7th month. It's called both Shabbaton, the holiday Zichron Torah, and it's a Mikra Kodesh. So it looks like Mikra Kodesh and Shabbaton seem to be almost the same thing. But it's unclear why we're using two names for the same idea. Now, then we got to Sukkot. Oh, by the way, and what was Yom Kippur called? It was called a Shabbat Shabbaton. Remember? Unclear why it's called Shabbat Shabbaton Hulachem. Why Yom Kippur is called a Shabbat Shabbaton? That's interesting. Not clear why. And then we get to Sukkot, that as was mentioning, 7 days. On the first day, Mikra Kodesh, and on the eighth day, Mikra Kodesh. Before we get to anything about the Arba Minim or anything. So the first presentation of Chag Sukkot has an eighth day, but it doesn't give a reason. Now let's go back to our regular source sheet with the English Hebrew and try to make sense out of this because I'm spending too much time on the introduction. Okay. So now again, we have this Ach on the 15th day when you gather the Chag Asif on your fruit gathering time, have a holiday for 7 days. On the first day of Shabbaton and last day of Shabbaton. Then we have the Arba Minim. On the first day, you take Priyat Sedar, something symbolic about fruit, which makes sense. But again, it's not related to Asif. Kapot Tamarim. Now, Tamarim, that's the season, but we're not talking about the fruit. We're talking about the leaves. Anaf Eitz Avot. It's unclear what that means, but we call them Aravot and Arvei Nachal. Those aren't fruits, that's for sure. And celebrate in front of God. But it seems like these are more tools of celebration. It's a way to celebrate. We're not thanking God for the etrogim and for the kapot tamarim. It seems like these are tools to make us happy. Yes, I hope that point's clear. What I'm bringing now is not like when I bring bikurim, I'm thanking God for my first fruits. But when I'm bringing these, I'm not bringing them because I'm thanking God for my etrogim and for my tamarim, etc. I'm bringing things to make me happy. Because it goes together, Usmatem b'fnei Hashem Elokechem for 7 days. Then we have the holiday, Chag Lashem for 7 days. Sort of a summary. Chukat Olam Nedorotechem. Keep that phrase in mind. This Chuk Olam for all generations. In the seventh month, celebrate it. It's a holiday for the seventh month. And now I'm going to go, I forgot who mentioned that in the beginning. I forget which participant talked about the rain part. This is a holiday. Now, these things are special for the seventh month. Now, we already know the holidays in the seventh month, but it seems like we're adding the Priyat Sadar, Kapot Prim, all these water things that we mentioned before, Dafka in the seventh month, and that might relate already to the moon. I mean, to the rain season coming up. Now we have another strange phrase. For the first time, we go back to Sukkot. We had Chag Sukkot before the Ach. We had the Chag Sukkot over here. Now we're talking about what seems to be Chag Asif, and then I go back to Sukkot. So what this pasuk is doing, it's tying Sukkot to this Chag Asif. Basukkot tishvu shivat yamim, kozrach mitzvah yishvu basukkot. Every citizen has to sit in the sukkah. Hopefully we'll talk about this in a minute. And then we finally get the reason. What I tried to point out in the beginning is that Sukkot is mentioned for the first time in Parshat Amor. It wasn't mentioned in Shmot. We only have Chag Asif, and Chag Asif makes sense. And now we're adding that during Chag Asif, I also want to sit in a sukkah. And now we explain why. Let me get right here because this is my key point of this year. This, I think, will be a chidush. In order that your generations will know, Ki basukot hoshafti et bnei Yisrael. How would you translate hoshafti into English?
I made them sit.
I made them sit. Are you a teacher, Ruth?
Yes.
You ever like put a student in the corner? I made you have to stand in the corner, right? It's not that we were sitting in this, we were in the desert and God watched us in the desert. God made us, we'll see in a minute, God made us suffer there on purpose. When I took you out of Egypt, I'm Hashem your God, I'm Hashem your boss. What I want to point out, this is my key point, I just developed it here in case you didn't follow till now. My point is, I don't need to remember what happened, I need to remember why it happened. I don't need to remember that, oh, I was stuck in the desert, oh, God did me a favor and took care of me. because I was stuck. God purposely put me through the desert experience to train me for a purpose. We'll read about it in a minute. And I need to remember my training and its purpose. I don't need to remember that out of gratitude that God took care of me. I need out of servitude to remember how to serve God, why it was necessary for God to put us in the sukkahs for 40 years before we could have the land of Israel. Hope that's clear. Now, what I want to compare it to, when we talked about the Exodus, I want to tie this, we'll see why, to remembering the Exodus. I don't remember only that God took me out of Egypt. I remember that he put me into Egypt to take me out. That goes back to Brit Ben Aptarin. We discussed that a lot. Pesach time. I'm not thanking God for, taking me out of Egypt. I'm thanking God for putting me into Egypt to take me out of Egypt. So when I receive the Torah, he can tell me, remember you were a slave. Remember you suffered. Remember how you were mistreated. And when you become a nation representing God, don't you dare do to others what the Egyptians did to you. And that's, that's all through Sefer Dvarim and in Parshat Mishpatim and in Kedoshim to you. I'm sure we've done that before. There's a big difference between recognition, expression of gratitude, and recognition of destiny. Now, here's the key point now. Chag HaSif, every society has. And this is this time of year. It's the main holiday is Chag HaSif. Because this is the time of year. The way God wants you to celebrate Chag HaSif is to remember the desert experience during Chag HaSif. And now we have to explain why. What I need to show you is why it's critical to remember the historical event of being in the desert, not out of gratitude for God taking care of me, but rather there must be some very deep connection between thanking God for our produce in Chag HaSif at the end of our fruit harvest and the need to go through the desert experience. And the answer is so simple. It's simply black and white in Sefer Dvarim in Perachet. So we're going to read it. We're going to go now to Dvarim Perachet. I'm going to switch to a regular English Hebrew hymn. And this is going to be my review in Hebrew. I'm going to switch now to a regular Chumash. Dvarim chapter 8 is nice and simple. It's like so straightforward in Moshe Rabbeinu's speech. Let me open up a Chumash right here. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the speech of mitzvot in Dvarim. So the opening line is keep all the mitzvot to be worthy of conquering. If you want to inherit the land, you have to be ready and worthy and willing to keep the mitzvot. Otherwise, it won't help you conquer it. That's the opening line. He repeats it 10 times in Sefer Dvarim. Here's the commandment to remember the desert experience. Moshe tells him, V'zachart et kol ha-derech asher lichecha, Hashem elchecha zabayim shana b'mimbar. Make sure to remember the desert experience of your last 40 years in the desert. What was its purpose? Leman anotcha. That's, I wouldn't say to torture you, afflict you. Remember? We just had inui nefesh. It was, I made you suffer in the desert. Lenasotcha. As a test, as a nisayon. To train you. To know will you follow my laws or not. In other words, I call this Sinai University. Before we can get the land of Israel, we need to go through basic training. It should have been a year. Remember, there were 10 tests that God gave the first generation numerous experiences to get them ready for becoming God's people in Israel. After Chet HaMaglim, God says, I've had it. He could have destroyed all the troublemakers and made a nation out of people like Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Davin says there'll be a Chilo Hashem, and therefore the conclusion they reached was, I can't kill them, but I can't bring them to Israel. We have to wait for a new generation to grow up and let them die naturally. We have to wait 40 years now. This new generation has been training now for 40 years in the desert, basically suffering in the desert and having to eat manna and not being able to make a living, being totally dependent on God. Now Moshe Rabbeinu summarizes. Vaya'ancha vayarivecha. Notice, he made you suffer and made you hungry. And in your hunger, then he gave you food. Notice, the way I understand the pasuk, it's not three synonyms. It's not he made you suffer and he made you hungry, and he gave you the man, but rather, he made you suffer in the desert, he made you hungry in the desert, and then he gave you the manna in the desert to solve your hunger. Got it? And then he gave you the man, food you never saw before, okay? To teach you that what? We don't live to eat, we eat to live. Believe it or not, we don't live to eat, We eat to live. Now, why is that so important? We'll see why in a minute. He's saying the goal is not just the prosperity. You need to eat because you need to stay alive, and therefore you need prosperity, but you need to eat to stay alive so you can do mitzvot and serve God. We'll see. Then he mentions how he took care of you in the desert with clothing, okay, for the last 40 years. And basically God took care of you, but you were in this almost artificial environment. And now you need to know, why did God do that to you? Why did God put you through this difficult experience? It's like a parent giving a hard time to the child to train them, to prepare them for adulthood. It's not the parent isn't making the child suffer because he hates them. The parent loves the child, but it wants the child to become independent, to be responsible. And therefore, sometimes give a child a hard time to teach them how to grow up. Now, that's the desert experience. It's the 40th year now Moshe's giving the speech. And ready now for the transition going into Israel. Therefore, keep God's mitzvot to walk in his ways and to fear God. That's a way of life. Remember, Lelecha Bidrachav was all defined in Breshit, doing Tzedek Mishpat. We had that back in Breshit Yotchet. But walking in the ways of God, it's a big theme all through Sefer Dvarim in how you conduct yourself in your day-to-day life. Now, why was this desert experience necessary? The three next lines explain why. Because God's bringing you to a good land, a land full of water. Remember the Eretz Nachlei Mayim? Remember the person, I forgot who mentioned in the beginning. Eretz Nachlei Mayim is going to rate to the Aravot. Remember, Arvei Nachal. But Eretz Nachlei Mayim, Ayanotu Tomot, Yotziba Bikal Bahar. I'm giving you land that has lots of water with tremendous growth, with potential for agricultural growth. So it starts with the rainy season, with the water. Okay? The water enables you to plant crops, and that gives you Eretz Kitav Sorah, that's your Katsir, in the end of the spring, early summer, and your Asif, the Gefen, Tenav Rimon, Zeit Shem Luvash, that's your fruit harvest. Okay? The land has all these things, and in this land you can eat without scarceness. Basically, there's everything you need, Lotef Sarkobo, and you also have natural materials, copper, etc. What does God want you to do? V'yachalta v'savata. But connect that to your, as a blessing from God to use it properly. There's v'yachalta v'savata. And then recognize that God gave this to you and the land you're going to. So basically, God took care of you in the desert so that when you come to the land of Israel and start living an agricultural life and doing everything on your own, treat it as though it's a gift from God. Now, what's the danger? There's a danger that didn't exist in the desert. In the desert, of course you need God. You can't live without him. In the land of Israel, you can live without God. And therefore, when you come to Israel, right, you might stop keeping the mitzvot because you don't need God anymore. Now, the next two lines are amazing because it's saying we're worried about all the things we daven for. Look at this. Pen tochava sabata. I mean, what's less? I mean, pen means like this shouldn't happen. But what's the danger? V'achalta v'savata is bad. U'batim tovim tivne v'yashavta. You build nice houses and live in them. Your livestock grows. You have great income from your livestock, from your sheep and your cattle. Kesev zav yerbe lachamol. You have lots of gold and silver. And everything you have, that's what we pray for, isn't it? That's our parnasa. Why is that pen? Well, the reason is simple. The danger, the pen isn't going on this. This is what you need to do. You need to become wealthy. The danger is that will cause you, v'ram levavecha, will cause you to become haughty. And in your haughtiness, the prosperity will lead to affluence and haughtiness. And that will cause you to forget the God who took you out of Egypt, who trained you in the desert. The God who took you, now who took you out of Egypt, who led you through the desert, with all the trouble, give you all these tests in the desert, who gave you water in the desert from the rock, who fed you manna in the desert that no one ever heard of before. For what reason? Lemana notra. Again, that was your suffering to test you in order to be good to you in the end. But remember your training experience. And what's the danger? If you don't remember that, you might say to yourself, I did it myself. It doesn't mean arms here. It means financial wealth. A lot of anything is a chayil. And the danger of prosperity is you take all the credit. Now, what's beautiful here, God isn't saying, therefore be poor. That's another approach. Saying, no, God wants you to be rich, but in your wealth and prosperity, remember, your ability to be prosperous is a gift from God. You become a trustee with the wealth you attain. And the way you say thank you to God is by acting thank you, which is basically all the mitzvot, a lot of the mitzvot of Sefer Devarim and also of Kedoshim to you and the Parshat Mishpatim. Basically, what do you do with your prosperity? How do you help your society, help those in need? The Ger, the Otom, the Amana, everything that Devarim talks about all the time, and the Levi, etc. How do you allocate your wealth? In other words, those who are blessed by God with extra, how do they use that as a trustee to be a partner with God to help those in need? It's called Potech et Yedecha, earlier in Sefer. It's a theme that repeats itself all through Sefer Dvarim. Okay? And therefore, in your wealth and prosperity, remember why it was necessary to train you so that prosperity shouldn't lead to affluence and haughtiness. Rather, should lead to kindness and care. And by doing so, that's how you're going to fulfill the covenant between God and your ancestors while you're getting the land of Israel to be God's model nation. And therefore, if you forget this and serve these other gods, I have to throw you out of the land like I did to the nations that I threw out because of you. God's only giving you the land on the condition you use your wealth and prosperity in the land as God's model nation and build a just and upright society. Okay. Now it's going to be as easy as, let me just summarize it now in Hebrew, and you'll see how what Chumash is up to, how it makes perfect sense. Let's go back to our source sheet. In the Hebrew, I just did a quick summary of everything we just did. In Devarim, Moshe is talking about the dangers, the spiritual danger of land of Israel, and I needed training in the desert to make sure that the danger doesn't play itself out. So remember your desert experience, we saw, to test you, to know that God's testing you like a child, like a parent prepares a child. The land of Israel is really, really good, but the danger is, in all your wealth, you're going to come bram levavecha v'shachavta, you'll become haughty and forget God. But you have to remember, and you'll say, kochi batzim yad yasai tachay lazeh, you'll become haughty and boasty, and you won't do the mitzvah properly. So remember in your wealth that he gives you the ability, and then not to say thank you, but act thank you. Now, so we discuss the danger of spiritual prosperity, the need for the desert experience, right? And we compare it to the need for the Exodus, and now we have to explain all the holidays. Watch how simple it is. Okay? All the holidays have a theme that relate to every day of your life, but once here I go crazy about it. I'll show you this instead. We use this Mother's Day analogy many times, didn't we? Hope you all remember every day is Mother's Day, but once here we go crazy about it to make sure every day is Mother's Day. Every day I have to remember the Exodus. Once I go crazy about it, to make sure, to sort of, as a booster shot, to give meaning to my daily memory. The reason I go crazy once a year is to apply it every day of my life, because the way I thank God for the Exodus is by acting properly every day of my life, being sensitive, and remembering I was once a slave, I was mistreated, don't do that to others. The same thing, the need to use your prosperity as a tool to serve God. Not to let prosperity lead to affluence and haughtiness, but lead it to kindness and righteousness. I need to remember that every day of my life. Once here, I go crazy about it. So therefore, just like I need to remember why God put me in the desert, into Egypt to take me out of Egypt once a year, but every day of my life, I need to remember every day of my life why God put me through the desert experience every day of my life to train for it. But once here, I go crazy about it. When is that? Now, so I come out of Egypt, I have the date. I was 40 years in the desert, but I need once a year. What's the best time of year to remember not to let prosperity get to your head? When prosperity is the greatest. What's prosperity the greatest? In Chag HaSif. Now you see it's all the same holiday. In other words, the holiday is Chag HaSif. Of course, that's this time of year. That's Chodesh HaShvi'i. But in my Chag HaSif, this is the best time of year to remember why God put me through the desert experience. Why God not took care of me in the desert, but made me suffer in the desert. To teach me, we don't live to eat, we eat to live. It's a life of me. It's not letting the need to be prosperous, but not letting prosperity get to your head. And don't tell me that's not an important message. It's a universal message. And as God's people, we have to be, we have to be shining with that. That's our philanthropy and that's our kindness and that's our, what we do with our wealth. And that's how we sanctify God.
They didn't have grocery stores.
What?
They didn't have grocery stores. You're filling up your storehouse with all of the tov, and you now look and you see that you have enough food to last you for the next year.
That's just you, you and your neighbors. In other words, you store what you need, but you're storing also, you become, you remember the Yosef story? What God, Yosef's dream was exactly this, wasn't it? What was God telling Yosef? What was Pharaoh's dream? For the next 7 years, you'll have what happens usually every year, right? In Egypt is having in cycles, got it? There'll be 7 years of tremendous plenty. But the purpose of the plenty years is to provide you for the years of famine. Because what keeps the lean cows alive in the dream? Right? The lean keys eat the fat cows. That's it. Yosef figured that out. Meaning, what was God telling them? In 7 years from now, there'll be a tremendous famine. I'm solved the problem for you because I'm giving you 7 years of plenty. So save the plenty during the plenty years. Don't overdo it. And save them for when you need it. That's storage, like Asher was talking about. Now, what they should have done, Egypt, they should have stored it. And when the famine came, they should have given it out for free. You don't take Social Security money and then charge people for it afterwards. Depends on your tax bracket. But what was I telling you? But you got that point? So it could be, now, did that lead to our enslavement in Egypt? Is that why the Egyptians hated us? You know, that's an interesting question. Yosef stored up all the grain from the people, and then he charged them for it afterwards. was that a reason? Anyway, that's a class on Sefer Bereishit. That's interesting. But I'm saying in the dream, it's not by chance that there's 7 years of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. See the number seven? Seven and nature always go hand in hand. Seven, that's why Shabbaton is Shabbaton means seven. And Shabbat and the theme of creation, why God makes man, B'Tzelem Elokim, it goes back to like big mega theme of Chumash. And now I want to appreciate why Chumash divides him into two holidays. What's it saying? I need to remember my death experience once a year. That I have to do. What's the best time to do it? B'Chag HaSif. So now I'll show you, that's exactly the two sections of Emor. First, in the Moadim, here's our historical holiday. In the seventh month, on the 15th day of the month, 7 days Chag HaSukkot, and the 8th day of holiday, we'll get that in a minute. And then, as a footnote, but an important footnote, oh, by the way, why am I doing this now? Because this is Chag HaSif. Now I'm clarifying why I'm remembering this historical event, but then Chag HaSif. And then I explain why. Let's look at the psukim again. I think now it should make perfect sense. I'm trying to explain this strange presentation that Chumash is doing. It's coming to emphasize this point is so important that it needs to be emphasized through structure. Now, if we go back to the psukim, here's what we did. Where are we? Remember, first we present Sukkot, just very bland, right? But bland as could be. Sukkot, 7 days. No rhyme, no reason, right? On the first day and on the eighth day. Why the eighth day? Unclear yet. Called it a seret. And we finish Eilu Moadei Hashem. And then, oh, by the way, to highlight. What should we read back? What's this Chag HaSukkot all about? That was our last topic. Oh, by the way, this 15th day of the seventh month is when you bless Bechem et Tvot Haaretz. That's your grain harvest. Agreed? Celebrate for 7 years. On the first day, have a Shabbaton. Shabbaton relates again to agriculture and the sun on the eighth day of Shabbaton. And then be happy that day and do things to remember rain. Why? Because if you use your prosperity properly, God will give you rain at the right time. That's the way you get rain to be deserving of rain. I'm bringing these symbols of rain and water, like someone mentioned in the beginning of the share, but because the rainy season is coming up. But we're not praying for rain. We're showing God we're worthy of rain. And if I kept Sukkot properly, notice, if when I'm gathering my grain, I mean my fruit harvest, if I'm doing my isuf of my storage, of I can dry out my, remember, I can dry out my, I can save my olive oil. I can make wine and raisins. I can dry figs and dry dates, etc. I can survive the whole year and even maybe for years to come with all my produce. I can store it. If I can, if I take upon myself to store it in a manner that other people can use it, then I'll be worthy of a good rainy season to be have what to eat the next year as well. And therefore, I'm celebrating with God with symbols of rain. Of the praise Hadar, Kapot, Tumarim, Manafei, Tzavot. That's part of the Simcha, but to remember the land of Israel, Eretz Nachleimai, Mainotu Tomot, Yotzim Babikal Bahar, which we saw. Then celebrate for 7 days. When? In the seventh month, do this for all generations. And then now that we explained Chag HaSif, let's go back and explain Sukkot. Why did God say, why is God calling the holiday Sukkot? Basukkot Teshvu Shivat Yamim. Every Ezrach has people who own land. Except the Sukkot, the people with potential prosperity. Right? L'man Yidu Dorotechem. So your future generations who didn't go through the desert experience should know that what? That I made you, Shafti, got it? I made you suffer in the Sukkah, and I said, when I took you out of Egypt, to be your boss, to be your God. That's, remember? That's the Brit Vashem. And that makes, now, so we saw this. Now, real quickly, I'll go to Burma in a minute. Let me just show you I'll get to it certain in a minute. The Rashbam on Baker 23. Okay. I'll just read quickly. Shuto Dvarim Amrim, the second Sukkah, he goes in quick, which is, Chag HaSif, etc. Okay. To remember that you were, what do you call it? You were without, you remember that you were once without a land. Okay. And then he says, B'tokach t'nu toda, therefore give thanks to God who gave you, thank you and recognize that God gave you the land. It's a gift from God. Okay. And don't say, I get all the credit. Okay. And then he says, U'kaseder hazen im sabah parshat kevet tishmon. That's parchet. He didn't have chapter. He just called, he has parshat shabuah, Rashbam. Okay. B'zacharta, okay. B'zacharta taderach, he quotes the psukim that we quoted, can, that we said. Listen carefully. V'lekach yotzim mibatim mele'im kol tuv bizman asifa. Therefore, what do? We leave our houses full of our produce in the time of our grain harvest and our fruit harvest, and sit in sukkah. Liskor shlo hayalem nachla b'midbar. Okay. V'bnei hatam hazeh kavakash bor chag sukkot bizman asifat goren b'yakev. L'doti rum levavam abatem alem kotuv pen yamru yadenu asalano tachayel hazeh. In other words, dafka because it's chag asif, we need to remember the danger of kochi batzim yadi, just like Moshe Rabbeinu explained. And therefore, the time to remember the desert experience is exactly Chag HaSif. So pretty much Bam says the same thing. Now, in light of this, we need to see Chag HaSif in Dvarim. And I had that already beforehand. Chag HaSif in Dvarim. Where are we? Here we go. I want to tell you, now we have to understand why Atzeret. Why is Atzeret the eighth day and not the seventh day? That's a big question. But for some reason, I don't sit in a sukkah on the last day. And why am I calling it Atzeret? So first let me show you the first time you have Atzeret. So you have Shmar Chodesh Aviv and Mik Pesach. Remember, it's from Devarim 16. Then we're told as follows. This is my source for Mother's Day. We talked about before. When you bring Pesach in the spring, don't eat chametz with it. Eat matzah for 7 days. Lechem Oni. Because God rushed you out of Egypt. Why? The goal of the yearly celebration is L'man Tizkor Yom Tzeitcham Eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. We quote this pasuk in a Seder when the guy hitting 70, Rabbi Azariah says, I never understood why every day, and his Rebbe Ben Zoma quotes this pasuk. Remember? Why do you do it every day? Because the goal of the yearly celebration, the goal of Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot and Pesach, is to remember the excess every day of your life, because that shapes your behavior. And hence all the laws in Devarim that relate to remember you were a slave in Egypt. Okay. Then you don't even think about not doing it in Yerushalayim. We can skip all that. Listen carefully. You bring it to Yerushalayim. You shecht it in Yerushalayim. You stay overnight. We shout to cook it in Yerushalayim and eat it by Makom HaShir Yifar. And only the next morning you go home. Okay. So now we pass the first day of Pesach, or the first day of Chag HaMatzot, where we eat the Pesach. The next 6 days, Sheishtirim tocha matzot. The last 6 days of the 7 days. Now all we do is eat matzah. On the seventh day, what do? We have an atzeret. The seventh day of eating matzah, which is the end of the 6 days after the first day. Got it? These sheishtirim are the last 6 days because the first day was when you ate the Pesach b'makom b'shivchar, and you only go home the next day. So when you go home, you have 6 more days at home. All you do is eat matzah, don't have chametz. On the last day of those 6 days, which is now the seventh day of Chag HaMatzot, you have an atzeret, Hashem Elokecha. Don't do work. What's lo taseh melacha? Now, it didn't say kol melacha, it didn't say melechet avodah. But why all of a sudden we don't mention Isur melacha by the first day of Yom Tov? We don't mention Isur melacha and Shavuot or Sukkot here as well. Why is atzeret go with Isur melacha? Anyone want to suggest a reason? Let me make sure the question is clear. For some reason, Chag HaMatzot has to end with an atzeret, and the only thing we do is nothing. Got it? The only thing we do is gather, basically, and we gather, but in order to gather, lo tasu melacha. Again, this is a bank holiday, but why mention it now? Because I need transition day. That's my point. Let me drop the screen for a minute. What I want to claim is, I cherish transition to make Mother's Day effective. Got my point? Every time I have a holiday once a year, where I have a core theme of that holiday that applies to every day of my life, I need to make sure the booster shot is working. To do that, I need to go to shul and hear the rabbi speech, the proper rabbi speech. Got my point? Now, what's special about the day? Nothing other than the rabbi speech. Got it? Therefore, I need a day when I'm doing nothing other than just gathering. As I can't end 7 days of Chag HaMatzot and do nothing. I need to do something, but my something is doing nothing but gathering, got it? To talk about the theme of the holiday, to make sure people understand why did I go crazy for 7 days eating matzah. As I need to teach on the last day of the holiday, what was the purpose of the holiday? To make sure the transition to the rest of the year is understood. And that's why it's right here. That's why it's in the same section with what? With the Mantis Kod Yom Tzeit Chamer Tzeit Koy Mechayacha. Hope that's clear. Now, why is this in Sefer Devarim? Because all through Sefer Devarim, I can give you 20 examples. We're going to run out of time. All through Sefer Devarim, we have that theme of building a just society and remembering your experiences to shape your behavior. Freeing a slave, remember you were a slave in Egypt, give him a bonus. Remember, when you're harvesting your field, lechet shicha and pay, I'll leave it over for the poor. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. When you think you can rip someone off in business, remember, mishpat of the avion, etc. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. Love the stranger, remember, you were a slave in Egypt. Over and over again. In the Ten Commandments in Devarim. Why do we keep Shabbat? So your workers have a day of rest. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. So the idea of your day-to-day life, which is exactly it's the underlying theme of Devarim, how to build a society where in your day-to-day life you sanctify God by the society that you build. To make sure that society is running properly, I need holidays that carry a message that shape your day-to-day life. That's saying Shema every day and remembering the Exodus every day. But whenever I have a holiday that has a message for every day of my life, I need a transition day that'll be atzeret. Therefore, when 7 days of Chag HaMatzot over, I need atzeret. Now, the rabbis understand the same thing about Shavuot, don't they? And therefore, the rabbis call Shavuot atzeret of the message of counting the Omer. Again, why? That's a shir on the Omer. But that's why the rabbis call Shavuot. Chumash doesn't call it atzeret, but the rabbis understand it's the same idea. Because it's a type of atzeret for the whole grain harvest. To take the same message of Shemini Atzeret later on. Okay. Now I have Sukkah, sitting in Sukkah for 7 days. On the last day of Sukkah, what do? Sukkah is over. On the eighth day, there's nothing special anymore. It's a super duper Atzeret where what's special? Absolutely nothing other than doing nothing and going to hearing the rabbi's speech. And that's Atzeret. And that's why Atzeret means to stop. What's stopping? The holiday is over. But I'm gathering because it's about transition. To make sure that the holiday is working right. And that's why I need an atzeret at the end. And that's why, in light of Shvi Shel Pesach, that Seret in Devarim, it fits so beautifully into the theme of Devarim, and to the whole idea that I said, the Mantis Kor Kol Yimei Chayecha, that you had in Devarim Perek Tet Zayin. And that's exactly, remember, at your Seder, that's why we quote Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah with the rabbis in Bnei Brak, to make sure, remember, pretending like he didn't understand why he does it every day, so we could quote his Rebbe, told him, look what Chumash says. And now Shmini Atzeret has a beautiful meaning. If you know the halacha, Rabbi Chay, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's halacha that on the last day of Sukkot, we take the kelim of the house from the sukkah into your house, right? You're supposed to take the kelim from the sukkah into your house. Chutzar, it's a bigger problem because you can't decide when sukkah is over. That's a different issue. But the idea is you take the kelim from the sukkah into your home. Because you never leave the sukkah, you take it with you. Got the idea? When guys in Shaitan, we never leave Yeshiva, you take it with you. Because when something's important, we don't leave Har Sinai, we take it with us with the Mishkan. We bring it to our shul. And that's the key idea of Atzeret I'm trying to get across. Now, Ishmini Atzeret just for the 7 days of Sukkot? It could be. Or it might also be an Atzeret for what? For the whole seventh month. Now, someone give me a proof that Atzeret might also relate to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and their themes.
To Kufat Hashanah.
I want a technical one from Parshat Pinchas. Remember, what's the Korban on Shmini Atzeret? One par, one aisle, seven kvasim?
Exactly.
Korban, remember Pazar Kashav? One par, the same Korban that you bring on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the same Musaf, is what you bring on Shmini Atzeret. Now, remember the beautiful Chazal, just give me one more day. That's the idea behind it. One more day for the transition. You can't sit in a sukkah your whole life. You got to get out of there. I need one more day for the transition. It's like a commencement, graduation. Something's over. I need that transition day. That's why graduation is also called commencement, isn't it? I'm beginning something. At the graduation speech, do I talk about what we did in college or what we're going to do now as professionals that we got educated, supposedly?
That's why people sit in the sukkah on the Shemini Atzeres without a bracha. It's a continuation, but it's the end of the brachas.
Okay, it could be. Our it has to do with stuff like the Yoma that gets really complicated. Because in Israel, you don't sit in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. We sit in the sukkah in America because of stuff like what. It's a big machloket. Should you or shouldn't you sit in the sukkah? It's really complicated. But if you need a heter, no problem finding. If you need a heter not to sit in the sukkah on the first day on Shemini Atzeret, that's no problem. Because a lot of people, you shouldn't. Because it's about tosif. Anyway, that's a whole halachic issue.
Okay.
But what I'm getting at is the atzeret. But if you're stuck, put it this way. If you're in a situation in Chutzlitz where you sort of sitting in the sukkah without a bracha, then use that halachic situation to remember that theme of atzeret. I need that transition day. So I'm leaving it, but leaving slowly, like a slow departure. But now let's go back to the source sheet. I think my time is up.
What was Arbat Aminim?
So I want to go back. Who spoke in the beginning? Said very nicely. We're talking about the water. There's a water theme as well. I think Arba Minim go back to Eretz Nachlei Mayim, Ayinot to Tomot Yotzim of Bikah Bahar, because they're water related.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of our simcha. But to remember that God's giving me a good land. What makes the land good? The fact that there's sources of water. Because without water, I have no agriculture. Now, it just so happens in the land of Israel that the end of our agricultural season is the beginning of next year's rainy season. Let me just show you all this inside. And again, everything's in Devarim. You would think there'd be a mitzvah to study Sefer Devarim on the last day of Sukkot. Anyone know what I'm talking about?
Hakel
and on Hoshana Rabbah. What's our custom on Hoshana Rabbah? To study Sefer Devarim. Yeah, it's not just because of the Hakel. It's the same reason why Hakel, we read Devarim for Hakel, because that's the law book. The laws in Devarim are the ones that guide our day to day life and make us a nation worthy of representing God. Now let me. I was about to show you something. Yeah, go ahead, Marty.
Could that be some of the connection why people stay up on
Minutah, because did a tikkun allow Minutah maybe to stay up to learn the Torah?
Exactly. We're staying up to learn. We want to end the holiday in a high, again, to remember Hakel, but Hakel was only every 7 years. Every year, indeed, to learn Sefer Dvarim, because the laws of Dvarim are exactly the transition. The idea of Lamantis Kor Koy Mechayacha is in Dvarim. The idea of Atzeret is in Dvarim. The idea of Atzeret for Chagim Atzot is in Dvarim. And then and Shemini Atzeret itself, Emor, it's basically the highlight of Parshat Emor. Now, what are the Mo'adei Hashem? What's God saying? I want to show you the same thing back when the holidays were first presented. If I go back to Shemot, where's Shemot here? Exodus 30. We're in 23, yeah. Remember the first time we had the Shalosh Regalim? We had all the laws of Parshat Mishpatim, three chapters of laws, primarily Beinam Lachavero. Remember, we had Midbar Sheker Terchak, we had returning last items, we had Shochad Lo Tikach, we had Vigel Lo Tuchatz, that same thing. 6 years work your field, the 7 day Shemitah, but in order that for the Evyonim Tid, it's a social reason for Shemitah. Even Shabbat, work 6 days, 7 day rest, so your workers have a day of rest. And then here's the key transition line. Everything I just told you in Parshat Mishpatim, Kol Shematechem Tishameru, make sure to keep all these laws. Don't you dare mention the name of the Canaanite gods. That's the rain god, the fertility god. That's God, Baal, Asherah, sun god, moon, all the different gods of the Canaanites. Right? Instead, come 3 times a year to visit me. The beginning of the Aviv, Chag HaMatzot, Chag HaKatzir, and Chag HaSif. Remember? Come, I want to see you in my office. Come to be seen by God. To remember what to do with your prosperity. To remember not just to say thank you, but to act thank you. And remember why God's giving you a good land and blessing it. So he's saying, if you want a good harvest, make sure to keep the laws of Parshat Mishpatim. This line, this transition, okay? Remember, keep everything I just told you. And don't you dare go to other gods for your agriculture. Instead, come to me on the key times of agriculture year to remember basically to say thank you on these times, but to act thank you the rest of the year. And that's why the holidays need an Atzeret to close them. Now, Atzeret is so important, it has its own theme later in Parshat Emor. It will take the Shosh Regalim, and Emor is going to develop it into a wider theme. But the Sukkot, again, has this double nature, because all the Korban are doubled as well. Remember, instead of one aisle and 7 kvasim, it's 2 elim and 14 kvasim. Because on the one hand, it's like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where I'm worried about the upcoming year, because God's judging us for the outcome of the upcoming year. But his judgment of how he's going to judge us in the upcoming year, which is determined by the rainy season, is going to be determined by what we do with our wealth when we store our grain in the harvest season. If I just go back, everything I'm just telling you, remember in Devarim, Vata Hashem Elokecha, all the parsha of Kriyat Shema, just something we say every day in chapter 11 in Devarim. We all know, Vayim Shemot Yishma Mitzvotai. If you keep my mitzvot, then I give rain at the right time. Yoram HaKosh is the early winter rains that come in Cheshvan that we hope for to be worthy of in our Rosh Hashanah davening. That's why we have a water theme the month beforehand. But beforehand, God tells us the land that you're going to, it's not like Egypt, where you had irrigation ditches and you had the Nile River and you had water all year long. Instead, the land you're going to is a land that needs rain for its produce. And you don't have irrigation, you don't have the Nile River as a constant supply of water. And therefore, a land that God looks after. God's eyes is providence, but here it means Einayim is like a mayan, like the source of water. I mean, the rain that comes is God's hashkacha over you. God uses the rain as his tool of providence. So God's eyes are upon, but eyes, miloshan, mayan, like a source of water, from the beginning of the rainy season to the end of the agricultural season, Mereshit Shana ad Achrit Shana. And therefore, God's in charge of the rain, not some rain God. But if you want rain, what do you need to do? If you follow my laws of Sefer Dvarim, which I'm commanding you today, then you get rain at the right time, and then you have prosperity, etc. Be careful. If you go astray, then God will use agriculture as a punishment. I think the theme is, all through Dvarim, the theme is so crystal clear. I'm just trying to explain why, how the theme of Atzeret fits so nicely, and how that whole Parsha of Amor, why I'm separating Sukkot, and then Chag HaSif, and then explaining Sukkot to explain why it's really one holiday. The main holiday is the agricultural holiday, but it's exactly the best time of year to remember the historical event and its purpose for every day of your life. Yeah, Asher, what was your question?
The word Asher? Rosh Hashanah, there is no Rosh Hashanah in the Torah. There's no such word.
What?
Hmm? Right?
Yeah, Rosh is never called. The closest thing is Rosh Hashanah.
It's never called that.
What?
Based on your shiur, I would suggest that actually Rosh Hashanah is the day after Shmini Atzeret. That would fit in with your whole picture.
Yeah, Yom Kippur.
That's the real Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, for sure. Rabbi Yoel talked about that like 20, 30 years ago. He says there's the difference between the lunar year and the solar year is 11 days. And therefore, 11 days after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur. 11 after Yom Kippur is Shmini Atzeret. Then you have a leap year. And you're back to Rosh Hashanah again. And the end of 1 year is always 11 days. So basically, every year ends, you know, every lunar year, 354 ends with the solar year, and then it has a cycle. That doesn't work perfect, but for sure, in nature, what's judging who's going to live and who's going to die? Remember the Tana Tokef? If I don't know about God and I just live with nature, if I'm somewhere, I'm from, you know, without any religion, and I'm living with nature, who determines who's going to live and who's going to die? The rain. Who by thirst? Who by? Because if there's no water for rain, nothing to drink, nothing will grow. The little that grows will fight over. Mi barav, mi bedever, mi becher, mi barav, mi batzama. If there's one item that determines the outcome of the year, it's the rainy season. That's why it's the same, Yoran Makosh. To be worthy so that the upcoming year begins in the rainy season. And we're looking forward to that rainy season. But it overlaps with last year's agricultural season, with Chag HaSif. And therefore, the transition, that's why on Sukkot we're taking God with Hallel for last year, and we're saying Hoshana for next year. Hoshana, all about is prayer for rain. And that's why we do Hoshana with the Avraham Minim. It's obviously that we're talking about in the beginning, about the rain theme in the beginning. So remembering, we're not praying for rain. We're praying to remember that God's in charge of rain. And he gives us rain based on our behavior. And I spend a whole month of being worthy for a good year by showing God that I understand the laws of Sefer Dvarim and I'll know what to do with my prosperity. It's totally different than praying God for prosperity. Because most people see religion, I pray to God so I can be rich, you know, so I can be wealthy. God should give me parnasa. God should give me, my goal in life is pursuit of happiness. And I pray to God, this powerful God who chose us. And if I say the right prayers, I'll get rich. And if I get a special ali, open the ark, I'll get rich or something like that. I'll get a skula. And Dvarim is saying totally the opposite. Wealth is a tool through which you serve God. Like Simcha is a tool through which you serve God. And I'm praying to remember that God's in charge of my wealth and prosperity. And if I use my prosperity properly, he'll bless me with more prosperity. But the prosperity is a tool through which you serve God. And the rest of the answer is in Fiddler on the Roof. Remember? If I was a rich man, says the whole thing. That song and his opening dialogue with tradition, that's half the religion. He's like, he was selling the Mark Shalom Aleichem.
What's the etrog connected to rain?
What's, explain again, Chava?
Etrog.
Etrog is a special fruit. It's called Pri Etz Hadar. It could be just a beautiful fruit and smells nice. It could be just to make you happy. But Chazal picking etrog is unique because it's the only fruit that breaks the cycle of nature. Chazal say, Pris hadar bilam shana l'shana. Oh, what causes people to think that there's an asherah, that there's a tree god? Because the trees give fruit. They're so creative, right? And if you remember creation on day three, God says, let there be, God commands and God does. Everything God commands, God does. The only one command that God does is someone else does. God says, Yikavamayim, Vayikavamayim, or Vayikvim. When God says, Tatshe aretz deshe, esem asura zera, Vatotziya aretz deshe, esem asura zera. Eitz pri osa pri. Who made the pri? The eitz made the pri. Not God. God made the eitz, who made the pri. But it looks like the eitz has power. It's dangerous. That's called the katzitz. That's a whole deep thing it's very deep in Kabbalah. But the idea that the tree is misleading because it leads people to think that there's not just a tree God, but a fertility God. There's something in nature that has the ability to give fruit in life.
I have a thought. If
yeah, Gershon, go ahead.
If the Sukkot are defective houses which God provided us because we were bad children, like the bad children that Ruth said we put into the corner, then the reason why Nehemiah celebrated Sukkot is to tell us we're leaving the Sukkot of Babylon, which are defective houses going to Eretz Israel.
I mean, you're explaining why, yeah. I mean, that, I can give you a share later on that whole thing in Nehemiah of why we skip Yom Kippur and go right to Sukkot. But I have a theory based on being an educator and needing shtick to get people, people who never learned things before, you need an activity. And when people get all excited, we never heard about loss of Sukkah. And I built my Sukkah. Like, I built a clubhouse. Yeah, let's say the kid builds a clubhouse, a treehouse, or makes a tent. I got to do something, right? So I bring pretzels. Let's play Monopoly. Let's do something inside our treehouse. But I need to do, now that I built something, I need to do something with it. So everyone built Sukkot. What are we going to do? We're going to learn Torah.
But we're not celebrating in Sukkot because we're happy to live in Sukkot. It's because we're masochists.
I'm not sure what that means, but
because they're defective houses, like the defective houses that we would have lived in Mitzrayim and in the Midbar.
Remembering how bad life could be?
Pardon? Sorry?
We're supposed to remember how bad life could be if we didn't have a good...
Well, apparently, if you've ever met any Jews, I think you have, you know we Jews are masochists.
Okay, that's a different discussion. Okay, let me just check the chat real fast. And that's a chat. Oh, we got 10 here now. Okay, let's go up to from the beginning. Okay, Ruth sitting in the corner. Okay, so, what are these things here? Why isn't Shavuot is 7 weeks. When some ask, why isn't Shavuot 7 days? Shavuot is a super seven, right? It's the seventh week of Chag HaMatzot is 1 week. And then we have 7 more weeks of our grain harvest. So it's a super seven. So that's why Shavuot is called Atzeret. You understand? Because Shavuot is, that's why it's on the 50th day after the 7 weeks are over. That's why it's Atzeret. But I can't explain it, but that'll take too much time, but it's the same idea. Okay? Sukkot are Zeklis, like the mana, like Ruth, like the now it's on the cover, very good. We only say how Sukkot not only happily thank God, but because we are okay. That we need to mention. Why do you refer to saying a Sukkah? Why did I refer to saying a Sukkah as suffering? Chumash says so. Well, I'm just quoting Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? But I gave you a hard time in the desert. Now, our Sukkah, that means you have to suffer. We did that on Yom Kippur. Remember, I think that sort of connects Yom Kippur a little bit to Sukkot a little bit.
But that was in the desert. Didn't it give them like a little security?
It could, but it's better than nothing. But still, life in Israel will be better. Listen, living
right,
in
but they were in the desert.
It's better than living without a ask Yonah. You know, sitting out in the sun without a kikion or something, you're going to die from the heat. So it's better than nothing. But you'd rather have a normal house.
The whole wilderness experience was a punishment for the Chet HaMeraglim. The Torah tells us that.
But there's still need. I can look at basic training the army as punishment. I can look at it as training. But Chumash, Moshe present is a training experience. Now, because you did a bad job in your training, you need to train instead of for a month or two or a year. You had to train for 40 years. That could be because we failed. But still, everyone needed some minimal type of training. Okay. Why 7 days sukkah, not a day? Like, this 7 days sukkah can't be atzeret, A, because I'm still sitting in a sukkah, so it's got its own mitzvah. But I need an atzeret, not just for Sukkot, I need a atzeret for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well. Got it? So I need a super duper atzeret. This for, after my 7 days, and the eighth day is going to be my closure. But to make sure today I do nothing, but it's not only closure for Sukkot, it's closure for the whole seventh month, holidays of the seventh month. And that's why it's, and sort of closes all the shows for Galim. It's a super duper atzeret. In other words, I would ask the other way. Why don't I have an eighth day for Chag HaMatzot? Why 7 days? It'd be eighth day. But that's exactly what Shavuos is, basically. Because when the 7 days of Chag HaMatzot are over, I'm starting the cycle of 7 weeks of seven. And the 50th day is my eighth day. In other words, my 7 weeks. And then when the 7 weeks are over, it's day 50. That's why Chazal call Shavuot Atzeret, they're right on the mark. They know what they're talking about. Okay. Why can't transition be on the 7 day like Pesach? So we answer that. Okay. Shmini Atzeret is dafka when we leave the corner ending. Zecher Yitzeit Mitzrayim, punishment, and rejoin the good of children of Israel in the class. Okay. That's very good. You're taking, asked Ruth before. Okay. And RAG said, on Hashanah Rabbah, decree for a good year is delivered. Maybe that's why Atzeret follows afterwards. Okay. Okay. That's already in Drash. Now everyone's getting their answer. With a pet cup. It's called Pitkatova. So they're delivered on Hashanah Rabbah. That's why we say Pitkatova. But that's more midrashic. Henya celebrated Sukkot because Hananya. So we will understand Mesopotamia. Okay. Jews is very happy religion. Okay. Okay. I don't want to get an argument about whether I've heard the word. I have no idea what the word masochist means. So I don't know. I don't know my English enough. I'll look it up later. I'm not sure what the argument is about, but that's more philosophical. About, we're supposed to be samachta v'chagecha. We're supposed to be happy. Now, some people enjoy suffering. That's why some people, their favorite holiday is Tisha B'Av. And that's why to make Simcha and Purim, they sing, a couple of psukim from Eifin to the Megillah, that line.
That's only Ashkenaz.
Yeah. Mislagdi, they make them happy. Okay. Anyway, I'm way over time. So we'll stop here. Everyone should have a chakza, and we pray again for, we need a lot of filo. Hopefully we got answers, and hopefully we can make worthy of, we have a lot of big challenges in front of us this year. So hopefully we'll be, fun. Rabbi J, am I teaching this Sunday after Sukkot? Not the first day Sukkot. I know not Chol HaMoed.
Right. We can discuss it. I'm okay. Fine. If people will come, sure. I mean, next week we're going, we're off, but in you're talking
next week we're off. Yeah. I can't.
Okay. We'll discuss it. It's okay with me. I mean, okay. We'll see. And, it just confirms next, on Chol HaMoed. Okay. So Dr. Sokolow will speak next Monday night. Mark Shapiro will be on tomorrow night. He'll give his regular shiur tomorrow night. He won't give it next week, but next week we'll have Bezorah Bracha, Dr. Sokolow. And Tuesday night we'll do Bereshit. You have to go immediately from Bezorah Bracha to Bereshit. So we'll do that here, also in our learning. Okay. And, right. So tomorrow night, Dr. Shapiro. And then I will be speaking Wednesday morning, my regular class. I guess the Friday we'll do Erev Yontif. So I'll be doing, instead of the Machzor, now we'll back to the Siddur on Sukkah. So that'll be, this Wednesday, but it's at 9 o'clock this week because I have to teach afterwards. So that's it. Tomorrow night and Wednesday, no Shir on Tuesday, this week. Okay.
Sunday.
At 1 o'clock in half an hour, Benny Kazuntai Bivrit, I'll say for Tilin Kane. So yeah. Whom of your Shir Hayom. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, be well. Thank you. Hope